Welcome to Your True North, a program that explores how values act as a compass, directing our lives and work. Inspiring guests tell how key events and influential figures shaped their values and how they've used those values to create a life rich in meaning, accomplishments, and personal satisfaction. Your True North is hosted by Cindy Camp. Are you seeking your true north? Then welcome.
On today's show, I'm talking with Eileen Carolyn Walsh. She grew up on a small farm in Ireland and came to the United States in 1989, where she earned a law degree from Loyola University. She worked in both the government and private sectors before starting her own estate planning practice. Eileen presents a monthly television show in the Chicago suburbs called Wills, Trusts, and More, and she hosts the podcast Where the Road Rises. It's a great pleasure to have you on the show today, Eileen. Yeah, and as you're talking about your background, I'm just wondering if anyone, you mentioned your mother and you've mentioned your parents, does any either of them or somebody else really stand out as a person who was especially influential for you? I don't know, it sounds because you love school so much, there might have been a teacher as well who was really...
Oh, yes. So definitely, I couldn't talk about who was influential without mentioning my mother and father, because my mother, for all that she had lots of children and was always busy and sometimes cross, she was soft and kind and always there in that warm kitchen. And she was a softening influence, I hope, on all of us. And my father, too, distant, always out in the farm, authoritative, certainly not soft and warm, but he had a deep interest in knowledge and learning that was influential for me. I would have to say, as I went through school, English teachers always stood out. Maybe because I love words to begin with, and maybe because they introduced me to the world of literature. But I was lucky enough to have three or four brilliant English literature and language teachers that stand out in my mind, that I remember learning new words through them. I can remember just about every novel we studied all the way through primary school, through my years at Thornhill, which was the high school that I went to. I loved my English teachers, and when I think back, they were most influential in giving me and nurturing my sense, my love of learning.
Well, and I know as we're talking about how, you know, your values were formed, the people who were the most influential, I'm wondering at this stage of your life now, well into adulthood, how you've come to understand what your values now are. In other words, what process helped you identify the core values that you cherish as an adult?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question, because I think many of us, even those of us who live by strong values, never identify even what they are or articulate them. And then when we're called to identify them, such as writing the ethical will or being asked a question like this, and you think about what they are, it really can lift you and feel, it just can be that transformative experience and give clarity to our days and shape our lives as we go forward. I would say for me, identifying my values came probably first from teaching, Cindy. When my children were little, I worked part-time and taught part-time at a local college. I taught business law and the legal environment. And I, without even knowing about the last lecture tradition, on the last day of each of my classes, I would pull together what I believed was important in life and put it together as a top 10 list for my students. And it was in putting together that list that I kind of started to realize what was important to me. And indeed, Sunday, I took that list and developed it into a motivational program and a motivational CD called Back Pocket Skills. That was probably the first step of really identifying what my life meant and what I lived by. I think for all of us raising our children really helps us see what we are about, because suddenly we are starting to raise and shape and form and try to instill in them what we believe is important. And that forces us to determine ourselves what we believe is important. And I think we all know it's what we do, not what we say, that will mostly influence our children. So I have four boys, the oldest now 17, the youngest 9. and raising them and instilling values in them has really helped me articulate my own. And then, Cindy, writing ethical wills and teaching others how to write their ethical wills and constantly delving into their lives to pluck out the meaning and the stories that led to them has helped me over and over see what my life values are. And if I were to pluck from what I've articulated my values to be, I could run through a couple of those for you, Cindy. Shall I do that?
Yeah, tell us what, at this stage of your life, you would really say are kind of core values that you live according to.
One of my core values is living life as a twofold journey. And that is always continuing my own lifelong learning, exploring the classical philosophic questions as to what life means, why we're here, where we're going. And while I am doing that, while I am living that life, living it as peacefully, successfully, and happily as possible. There's not a single day, Cindy, that I am not doing one of those things. And I keep them as core drivers in my life. And then helping others do the same. So one of the things through teaching and interviewing people and being lucky enough to be exposed to many, many people in society, getting to speak, is to teach others to live a magnificent life and see the value of their own life and their story, particularly those who, like many of us, start with low self-esteem and low self-worth, to help them see that they have a voice and added to our chorus of voices, as Sandra Cisneros calls, brave, heartbreaking, and beautiful, and for them to learn to soar in their own lives truly informs mine. And another of my core values would be that loving kindness from my primary school teachers, from my parents, from what I've learned in criminal defense and defending those who have done what we might think were the worst things in the world, and following the words of Helen Prideen that everyone is more than the worst thing they have ever done. To live my own life with loving kindness, to have my boys live their lives that way. The last thing I say to the four of them going out the door every day is to be kind, to make someone's day, and to come tell me about it in the evening. It just would be one of my fondest values and principles. And maybe finally, Cindy, to see us all as being interconnected rather than being rugged individuals. And if we can see each other as being interconnected, it's much easier to get on board with being kind to others if we realize that we're all unique threads, but part of one beautiful tapestry.
Well, thank you for sharing so many thoughts, really rich thoughts. And I think to your point about writing an ethical will or about talking explicitly about values, sometimes these things are there under the surface and we don't really acknowledge them. But doing that can be a transformative experience for us and can really help us kind of assess our lives and our place in the world. So thank you. I'm going to pause again just for a moment for station identification. You're listening to Your True North on WPRR Public Reality Radio, broadcasting from Western Michigan. Today I'm talking with Eileen Carolyn Walsh, the host of the podcast Where the Road Rises. Eileen, I'm always interested in the topic of role models, and I'm wondering today if there's someone you'd identify as a personal hero or someone whose life you find particularly inspiring.
Oh, boy. Many, Cindy. Probably the most personal hero and the one I feel deeply related to would be Seamus Heaney. And for any of your listeners not familiar, Seamus Heaney is a poet. He grew up in Northern Ireland, close to where I grew up. His work was spare, stark, beautiful, illuminating. He was recognized not just as a local bard, but by the world of letters, Harvard and Oxford and Cambridge. And eventually in 1995, Cindy won the Nobel Prize for Literature. So those of us who grew up poor in Northern Ireland, in the country, rural Catholic, who didn't feel that we had a lot to contribute, who maybe felt that our lives were a little shameful, he took those lives and he made them into poetry. And he got the world's attention, and we felt so much pride from that. And one of the things that Shuma Saini did that has deeply influenced my life, my storytelling, my encouraging others to write their story too, is that he showed us that our own experience is trustworthy. So many of us discard that experience that is so valuable Sunday. We think the lives of others matter. We climb towards what we see as mattering and discard the experience, the precious experience that we came from. He urged us to write about our personal memories, not just preserve them, but to open up the experiences and move them along and make them current. This summer, when I was at home visiting my parents, I went to a review of his work. He, right now, they just opened a home place in this, you know, in the little village where he grew up, where you can review his work and see the photographs and read the poems. And as I reviewed that, it really encouraged me, and I would hope all of us, to trust our experience and let the memories of our childhood and teenage years and adulthood connect us to and illuminate our presence and maybe move us along to what he calls a glimpse of wholeness. It's what I'd love us to do with our lives, with our ethical wills, and always to keep going on that journey towards wholeness and trusting that everything we brought to the experience adds to it.
Yeah, that sounds, you mentioned lights and shadows earlier. I know I've heard you say that before, and you mentioned it earlier in the interview, and that's a powerful idea that all these things are part of our lives and that we really have to be open to learning from all of the things that happen. I'm going to follow up then with this sort of thought. I know it's been said that without the mud, there would be no lotus. And so I'm wondering if you'd talk about an experience where you've had to struggle with a value that you hold and what you might have learned either about yourself or about life in general.
Yes, Sunday, I would have to say the most prevailing value is my theory of lights and shadows. There's probably not a day that I don't say that to someone in my office or somewhere, you know, one of my children, that every experience in life has both lights and shadows within it. And I've lived by it all my life, even in the days when I wouldn't have been able to recognize or articulate it. So as one of 12 children, we didn't have that feeling of being special. There was very little money or resources. Everything had to be shared down to the thinnest part. But it taught me independence to reach out, to give me a hunger. I would never, I don't believe, have reached as far as life as I have if I hadn't come from that background, if I would have had a trust fund. And those 11 siblings are now part of my brightest light. We talked earlier about the lost loves and the broken relationships. I didn't meet my husband until my mid-30s. I've lain in the dark room, curled up like a fetus as just another love came to an end. But that helped me grow strong and emotionally independent. And I would not be the strong, powerful wife and mother I am today if I had just, you know, met that knight in shining armor when I was 24 or 25. And we talked about law school and waitressing through the night and struggling to stay afloat. That was the shadow, was that tiredness and not feeling entitled at the beginning. But the light was emerging, diligent and hardworking and full of real life experience, and walked into every job I applied for and eventually was able to have a successful practice and raise my children and get myself to a point in life that I don't think I would have been able to get through had I not had those difficulties. I think the stepping stones become the ladder, and the mud, as you said, provides the lotus. So that would probably be my greatest prevailing value. Whether you would consider it a value or not, it's what I live my life by. And the comfort of the philosophy, Cindy, is that no matter what is going wrong, I know the light will be there when I am ready to see it. Even those who have walked through fire have been able to say when they came out the other end of it that they saw what it did for them and how they grew, and that they wouldn't have changed a thing.
Well,
it just makes everything all right, no matter what it is, Cindy. No matter how wonderful sun is, the shadow is there, that shining dream you aspire to, sure enough, if you got there, there would be a shadow within. And no matter how awful our experiences, the light will be there.
I'm going to follow that question with this one, which is, what are you most grateful for?
Gratitude would be one of my values, Cindy. It would be my true north and my holy grail, because I don't believe there's anything that gratitude cannot make better. I am so grateful for this mind and how it has worked and what it has done for me and my childhood, my parents that I'm so lucky still to have, my siblings, my husband, and my boy, thank God, mental, physical health, none of which I take for granted. I'm grateful for my profession and my business and my ability to be able to see life for its magnificence, for not sleeping on this. There's a wonderful quote that I want to bring to mind. On this bright day of the frost and sun, to not sleep before evening. That is what I strive towards. So being gratitude and being grateful for everything that I have is one of my greatest guiding lights.
Well, I'm wondering about advice you might have for younger people about career choice and how to use their own guiding principles or core values to chart their path, both in career and more generally in life.
Oh, boy. So I do have a teen right now choosing senior classes and starting to look at college, my 17-year-old Cindy. And I am actually surprising myself at how much I am guiding him towards something that he loves and that will make him happy rather than going for one of the top 10 best paid professions. I want him to find something that he will find a job in, that he can advance in, but something that he loves rather than something very strictly academic. I thought that I would be guiding them because I loved academia and because I want my children to have everything that I didn't have. I thought that I would be more guiding them towards top schools and top professions, but I do find myself wanting them to be happy. Now, my second teenager, my 15-year-old, feels very strongly that he wants to go to Yale, is putting the work in, is putting the hours in, and so far he has himself on that track, and I'm delighted to encourage him. My other teen is more inclined towards art and music, something physical, maybe counseling, teaching. And I find that I want him to do what he will be happy for and what I believe he'll be able to get a good job in and to be able to use his skills to advance in. So I think I would have to say, Cindy, you know, something that they love, something that they're good at. I think it's very hard at that age for them to be thinking about values. And that's one of the things I love about what you do, Cindy, in that evening. Some teens, you are encouraging them already to be having their choices guided by their values and principles, which I don't think their high schools are telling them. I'm not even sure colleges are. But what they love, that's what I would keep coming back to. What they love, what they're interested in, even if it's not what right now is the most highly paid.
Well, thank you. I think that's important advice for young people to hear. And your own life really reflects your journey in terms of, finding a job that can support you and your family, but also a job that you really find deep meaning from and that you've grown in so many directions with. I guess I'm wondering, and I think there's probably many things you could cite, but what would you say you're most proud of at this stage of your life?
Oh, my heart. Far I have come, Cindy, and what I have been able to do with what I was given and what my parents gave me, how I was raised, that I've been able to get a profession that I'm proud of and that I'm able to work within that profession in an area that I can bring solace and healing and peace and joy to people every single day. Cindy, I make it every day before I go in to meet with clients. I send them love and warmth, because I know it's hard for them to sit down and talk to me about the things that they are going to talk about. So I'm proud of how I do that, and I also teach other lawyers and they to do that also, both in within the Illinois legal profession and now nationally to a national organization of wealth planning, estate planning attorneys. I teach them how to unwind their clients' needs through stories and how to not just tell them what they need or ask them what they want, but to listen to what they say. I often compare it to Oliver Sacks' medical narrative that he taught other physicians to care about the patient and unwind their needs through their stories. And I advocate that we lawyers do the same. So I'm proud of what I've been able to do with my gifts and abilities, what I'm able to do within the law, how I'm raising my children. I'm glad that I'm able to give them things that I never had, Cindy, something that a little, just a little touch, a little story. I will look sometimes at their baby books. Even my nine-year-old is out of baby books now, but I would look at the little storybooks where there was a little bear or the little boy in the bedroom, and the bedroom had within it a lamp and a nightstand and and the little bed. And I would think, my boy's bedrooms look like the bedrooms out of the storybooks, which mine as a child never did. My parents didn't have those resources, and we had few rooms and many children. They often say that we went from 12 children and two rooms to two children and 12 rooms. But the fact that I'm able to give my children things that I didn't have and hopefully enough guidance that they'll be able to do well with that and go out and help others with it, that I'm proud of. And my children's achievements, they now look like the children that I perceived everyone else to be when I was growing up and have the things that I did not. So I'm very, very proud of them too and what I've been able to do for them.
Well, and then as you think into the future, and hopefully you have many years yet for work and for everything else that you hope to do, but just wanting you to think a little bit about how you might want to be remembered.
Remembered. Well, I hope the loving kindness that I try to live my life by would be part of my legacy. I love being my friends, so being a good friend and sister, that I was a good mother to my children and a good wife to my husband, and maybe that I was able to contribute to the world, make it a little bit of a better place. And I feel, Cindy, that is the storytelling that I advocate. I interviewed a lady for my program once who said, and she's very successful and at the pinnacle of an academic career, she said, I still feel the day has not broken for me. So I wonder what I might do in the future, but if day has broken for me, I hope it is that I teach others that their life is valuable, that their voice matters, that their words are jewels, and that their story is valuable enough to be written and shared.
Yeah, I appreciate you, because I know those are such hard things to really put into words. And as you were saying that, I'm reminded of a book that I read recently about death called The Five Invitations, and how to live a life more richly with the knowledge that we will die someday, kind of right on our shoulder, how that knowledge enriches life day to day. The first lesson is don't wait. And I think you have lived a life that exemplifies that, just grabbing every opportunity that you have and living so fully and richly, with who knows what much more to come perhaps. But I applaud you for all the things that you've done. And I'm just going to ask you one last question about closing thoughts for living a life that's centered around a strong set of values. What would you like to add, Eileen?
Gosh, Cindy, final words on that subject. But what I would say, I think what I would want to say to your listeners and to young people and to everyone in general is that things are not so bad. The world is not falling apart. Don't listen to the political naysayers. We have actually a cleaner world than we've ever had. There's less poverty than there ever was. We're curing more diseases. There's more clean water, better electricity, more people hooked up to the internet. Civilization is just beginning. So if you even go to YouTube and look at the little videos under People Are Amazing, people are doing amazing things, and the world is so amazing. One of our listeners, one of our children, Cindy, is going to harness the power of the universe to burn all the garbage and clean everything up. I believe civilization is truly just beginning, and our marvelous young people are going to get that underway. And if I maybe had one last word as a value for young people to live their life by, it would be that a good conscience, a clear conscience, is a soft pillow. That if we live life by the values that we believe make the world a better place, we feel good and we can be successful and we can go out to the many roomed mansion and live a magnificent life.
Well, I want to thank you so much. It's been a delight to talk with you today. Eileen Carolyn Walsh, host of the podcast Where the Road Rises, and so many other endeavors that you're involved with. I also want to thank those who are listening on the radio and in our podcast audience. Follow Your True North on Facebook and Instagram at Your True North Podcasts. Twitter is at YTN Podcasts. Our producer is Sean O'Melia, and I'm your host, Cindy Camp. Please join us again for another conversation about values as a compass for life's journey.